This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Guys of Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackey and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
It's a feedback Friday here. A lot of Viking stuff to get to. Some good questions, some good thoughts, but I feel like, Judd, you should get the flag for our Gophers.
Try it. Oh, hold on. Here it is.
Get the flag. Ooh, a Gophers flag. Look at that.
Towel.
A Gophers towel.
I got the Gopher towel. And I got Golden.
We're going to make Judd wave the flag and dance Goldie around for 1 minute for every goal the Gophers scored in the third period last night.
Yeah.
Poor Canisius, man.
Boys. Yeah. Well, you know what? They hung tough for two periods. Then it just all came apart, as it should have.
For Canisius,
for Canisius. I am looking for this Golden Gopher team to bring home a national championship.
Mm. Someone's in their way, though.
St. Cloud is that's tough game, difficult. But you got to win that game. You got to win that game with this.
So put this on ice for a second, because we do have a question in Feedback Friday here that wants to pit two members of the show against each other for some sort of bet of some kind. So we'll get there. We'll get there. Let's start with some Viking stuff here. Feedback Friday, Mackey and Judd, daily Minnesota sports, entertainment, speculation, therapy, whatever you need from us. You can always hit us up throughout the week on the Score North app, which is free to download. There's a feedback tab. It's the best way to send your questions, your thoughts to the show. And we try to get to as many as we can here. We did a batch of this on Purple Daily too, so you can check out that episode. But Skull Virginia chimes in and says, does anyone paying attention really think the Vikings will be worse than last season? Let's think for a second. A younger, faster defense with likely a more aggressive scheme. Check. Same core offensively with a year of cohesion and system development behind them. Check. A good young coach in his second year of play calling who has shown a willingness to be creative and adaptable. Check. A good, maybe great quarterback going into a contract year who wants to prove he's still worth big money in the twilight of his career. Check. Is JJ still on the field? Oh, good. Check. We may have a worse record, but it's hard to believe we won't be a better team.
So that makes a ton of sense. Do I think they're going to win 13 games again with the schedule of opponents that we see? Because, you know, obviously from finishing in first place in the NFC North, the schedule gets tougher. No. Do I think that they're going to be a worse team? No, that's a really good point. And look, this defense was awful. Like, it was absolutely terrible. And the people that were subtracted from it were not really productive players. Offensively, yes, they still have the components of a good team. So if this makes sense, I think that they're on the right track, and I think they actually might be in a better place personnel-wise, but I also am not going to be surprised if they don't win 13 games again. Fair?
Yeah. Yeah. What about you? Do you think what do you think about this, Declan? Do you think they're going to be better?
Perception wise, yes. I think the perception of them will be better. By perception, I don't mean 13-4 versus, 11-6. The wins and losses is irrelevant to me, because there's going to be things that you regress on. There's going to be things that you rise up upon. To his point about the defense really going to be 30th again? Is the offense going to be able to muster eight fourth quarter drives that they had last season? Probably not. So there's going to be some things that regress, but at the same time, there's going to be some things that rise up to a degree. I think with Brian Flores in here, fixing up the defense, your offense, learning some lessons that it was a good offense last year, but I think there's even lessons to be learned that kind of crack the glass ceiling of them, not just being a fringe top 10, but being a legit offense. I think the perception of them changes, because they were basically deemed as frauds for the majority of last season. Do their point differential, do their fluky wins. And I think there'll be more concrete evidence that, hey, they might not be a 13-win team, but they're actually a sustainable team that can win games, and it's not as much of the fluky nature that was around them like last season.
Yeah, I, I'm going to simplify it by answering this way. So the just in terms of points per game allowed and points per game scored, the Eagles, for example, last year were third in points for and eighth in points against. So third and eighth, that number adds up to 11. The lower the you rank, if you rank first in both categories, the lowest number you can have is 2 if you add those up, right? So the Eagles' number was 11. The Vikings were 8th in points for, 28th in points against. So that number adds up to, 36. Mm-hmm. I think that number is going to be lower in 2023. Because I think, that let's say the defense goes from 28th to 17th or something. Just by being like Skol Virginia said, right? Younger, faster, more aggressive scheme. And I think the offense right now, I still have some questions about the offensive line. Let's say it's probably around 7th or 8th again, right? Maybe they go up and take the 7th. I think that combined number is going to be lower, which means they're going to be better. I don't think they're going to win 13 games for the reasons that you guys said. So I guess we all kind of agree with Skol Virginia here. That the process could be better, the team could be better, and they might wind up with 9 wins or something because the schedule's tough and the luck wasn't on their side.
Have they lost one player so far who you said, oh my God, that's a huge loss?
That's a great question. Here's the list because I'm keeping track of this. So the goodbyes, the hellos. All right. Stop me when I get to a player that you're like, ooh, that smarts. Eric Kendricks, Adam Thielen, Patrick Peterson, Cam Dantzler, Duke of Shelley, Dalvin Tomlinson.
Yeah, that's a loss. I mean, it's not like, oh my God, the sky's falling, but that's a loss. That is a subtraction from your team that was good last year.
I will add Za'Darius Smith and Dalvin Cook. The first 9 games of Za'Darius is a huge loss. Huge loss.
Yep. Dalvin, in my opinion, would not be a huge loss. This version of Dalvin would not be a huge loss. Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing is the veterans that they're trimming for the most part or have trimmed are guys that had a lot of name equity, but their play definitely declined.
Yeah. Okay, Dominic Whetstone, Whetstone.
Whetstone.
You can't have pie without cool whip.
Saying what?
What? Why? Whetstone. Really needing a breakdown list, maybe a pecking order, if you want to call it that, of the Vikings' best quarterbacks in history from Judd. I'm thinking Fran Culpepper, Cap Cousins, Kramer. Interesting.
We did this during the pandemic.
He needs sports dad to tell him if recency bias is killing him. All right, give us your 5. Who are your 5? We'll probably do this again in the offseason.
Yeah, Tarkington is 1, 2, 3, 4. He is the only true long-term franchise quarterback in the history of the franchise. I love Tommy, but he ain't it. I forget how I ranked them originally. I will say this: after last season, Cousins has moved up. So, just off the top of my head, Tarkenton's 1. Let's say Cousins now, or actually, let's say Culpepper's 2.
Yeah.
Let's say Cousins is 3. Joe Capp, unfortunately, and I know he went to a Super Bowl, but his time here was very, very brief. And I didn't see him play. And while I saw Tarkington at the end play, I mean, Tarkington's stats for that time period are really damn good.
Cap had 1 good season with the Vikings, basically.
Yeah. And that doesn't get me to top 5 for Joe Capp. I would probably put, I'm trying to think here, Kramer 4.
I think 4th.
And who did I?
Well, you know how I view this. I'm putting some of the 1 year guys. And in fairness, yeah, Bob, if I'm putting 1 year guys in here, Joe Capp probably deserves to be in the conversation. But I like Randall Cunningham, Brett Favre. Those guys are all in play. Warren Moon. Those guys are all in play for my list.
Yeah, Moon might be my 5. I think Moon was my 5. Favre was 1 year again. And yeah, that's just the difference of parameters and opinion of does a year get you on that list?
Yeah. What I don't want to hear anymore from anyone, because you could make a fighting case that Cousins is the second best quarterback in Vikings history. And I mean, I disagree, but I won't die on a hill. But for people using that as like, He's the second best quarterback in Vikings history. Put him on a pedestal and never get rid of him ever. Lifetime contract. Well, you know, okay. That's not exactly a vaunted list, let's just say. When we're fighting over whether like Tommy Kramer should be third, it's not like the Green Bay Packers who've had three bona fide Hall of Famers.
It's not Bart Starr, Favre, and Rodgers. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Or even like the Broncos have Elway and Manning. I guess it's pretty much those two, so that might have been a bad example. But I digress. Carl Williams chimes in here via the ScoreNorth app. Hey, guys, love the show. Been watching you guys for over a year now. Love you guys. Thank you. Thank you, Carl. I want your opinion on narratives. When a narrative is out there, it sticks forever, correct? Why is it that Dan Marino is talked about as one of the best quarterbacks ever, but he's 8-10 in the playoffs, only won 10 or more games six times in his career, has been blown out in multiple big-time playoff games, never won a Super Bowl. But Kirk Cousins is chastised for not winning. I am by no means a Kirk stan, but I am a fair guy. What are your guys' thoughts about quarterback narratives?
Go back and watch Marino play. That's the narrative. And plus, he did go in his rookie year, they went to the Super Bowl, which if Kirk had a Super Bowl appearance, that would change things for Kirk, no question about it. But if you go back and watch the arm talent there, Dan Marino was a generational type of talent. Now, the record is a good point, so I'm not even debating that. But if you are asking me, why does Dan Marino get more respect from the narrative than Kirk Cousins? Go to YouTube, you probably have, and watch Marino highlights. That's why.
Well, I'll add to that, too, and say, so you're sort of, you know, watch the game. I do as a kid remember Dan Marino, and just with the eye test, he was always one of the three or four best gunslingers in the league. But, yes, he did kind of fall on his face, and his teams fell on their face in the playoffs. So that is a fair characterization. But if you want to compare Dan Marino to Kirk Cousins, which is kind of what Carl is doing here, and you want to bring up like the day he says Dan Marino, he's only 8-10 in the playoffs. He's only won 10 plus games six times in his career. Well, Kirk's only played, I think, in four playoff games. Kirk's never been to the NFC Championship game or the AFC Championship game.
Correct.
Kirk only has one playoff win. Marino had eight and a Super Bowl appearance.
A Super Bowl, yeah.
And an MVP, right? So Kirk, and you could even go further and say, all right, what about team success, which isn't all to do with the quarterback. There's defense and coaching and circumstance and schedule, and I get it. But Dan Marino's teams, if you give a guy, you know, a 16-year sample size at quarterback, your record tends to speak volumes. And Dan Marino's teams in the regular season were like 60 games over 500. Mm-hmm. Kirk's were exactly 500 until last year, and now they're, what, nine games over 500.
Right.
So it is fair to say that, okay, maybe people have overrated Marino a little bit and not accounting for the fact that he fell on his face in some big games, but he also put together a pretty damn good resume without a Super Bowl. Just because neither one of those guys has a Super Bowl doesn't mean that they're in the same bin, I guess, is my final point on this.
Dan got done playing and essentially walked into Canton. Kirk won't. It's that simple. Like, unless Kirk wins a Super Bowl or two. Well,
not yet.
Or something, Kirk won't. Kirk's not exactly a spring chicken. He's nearing my age at this point.
Well, Marino played till 38 in an era where guys didn't sleep in hyperbaric chambers and he almost finished three times a day.
He almost finished his career here. Denny Green tried to get him in 99, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. The other thing, too, is, and it's only fair to point this out when we have discussions that cross different generations of quarterbacks, the league that Marino played in was not nearly as quarterback friendly.
Yeah.
Guys absolutely got smoked.
Yeah.
Now that's a flag. So like but I like the overall point. I just think that there's more nuance to it than, you know, why are you tough on Kirk if Marino is so respected?
What would it take for you guys to give Kirk Cousins serious Hall of Fame consideration?
Super Bowl.
A win?
A Super Bowl win. And if not like perennial championship game appearances at this stage later in his career.
So what if like the next two seasons, what if it's NFC championship game and then he wins a Super Bowl? So he finally gets further and then he wins a Super Bowl and puts up, you know, another 9,000 yards.
That's a good one. So let's say he goes to so he's 35, right?
He'll be 35.
So let's say the Vikings now go on a run where they go to back-to-back conference championship games, lose, and then in the third year go to the Super Bowl and Kirk wins, and then rides off into the sunset. I think his stats then, and certainly that pedigree, might substantiate it.
But he's never even, the other thing is, like, he's never even come close to an MVP. I don't think he's ever even gotten a vote for MVP.
No, yeah.
So he would have to do some, and it is possible he's healthy. He takes care of himself. Yep, you know, I could see him playing at a fairly high level for like another 4 or 5 years or something. It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities, but he'd have to tear it up in the postseason for like 3 years.
I'm just spitballing here. That's all I'm doing. I'm spitballing Kirk's career.
Let's see here. What else we got here on Feedback Friday? This is from John. He kind of writes this like one line at a time, almost like a haiku. I don't think it's intended to be, but he says, new to the show, have become addicted. You guys are fun to listen to. Feel like I'm at the bar with my buddies. You don't take yourselves too seriously. You do your homework. Thank you, John, for your haiku. That said, I think Phil and Judd have thrown Dalvin Cook under the bus too far. Yes, his production was down in 2022, but I noticed he was highlighted in 3 of the top 10 Vikings plays of the year on the Vikings website. That is strategic propaganda, by the way.
Yeah, just wait till
here's our top 10 plays traded of the year.
Now here's my new top 10 plays of the year.
Here's our top 10 plays of the year. 8 of them are Dalvin. Call the Dolphins back. They already have running backs now. Plus the long runs against the Bills and the Dolphins last year. He still has plenty of speed. And there's a recent article in the Daily Norseman that gives some facts about the 2022 run game that you guys have not brought up. And we've talked about, like, just structurally the run game was not great. Alex Boone did a great job throughout the season, too, breaking down just, like, Ed Ingram's struggles and whatnot. But I guess the general point here from John is that we are being a little too hard on Dalvin Cook, deeming him to be cooked.
So we were doing the same thing. I don't know if it was at the exact same age, but we were doing the same type of thing back in the old 4-hour radio show days with Adrian Peterson. And here's why. I am big on pulling the plug early, and I'm even bigger when it's a running back. So I'm not even blaming Cook. Cook's had a fantastic run here, but look at his salary. Like, I'm not, if he was playing for cheaper, I'd probably be like, okay, fine. But he's not. He gets paid a lot. He plays a position that I consider to be one of the easiest to find replacements at. And again, like, the point proven is this. If Dalvin Cook had a better line or a better blocking scheme, Dalvin Cook would have been more successful. But at Dalvin's age, I can plug in a younger guy who's cheaper who will also be successful.
Yep.
So this isn't like a personal thing. This goes back with me personally to Peterson when I'm like, okay, it's time to bail now. People are like, you can't bail on Peterson. I'm like, yes, I can. So I'm not picking on people. I'm picking on the position that you chose to play, and it's just time to go.
And especially with running backs, it's one thing to, maybe we could have a debate about how, well, he was actually better than Phil and Judd think in 2022. And that, okay, we could have that discussion. But now he's going to get another year older. Right. Another shoulder surgery, or maybe it's his first, but it's another surgery for him. He's going to be more banged up in 2023 and another year older and more expensive.
Yep.
So all of these reasons are why I think we're, you know, there's some things we have disagreed about this offseason, but the Dalvin Cook thing, I think we're all pretty much in alignment.
I think running backs are like a really good t-shirt or a pair of socks. You know, you love them and you're like, I really like this. They're really comfortable. I don't want to get rid of them. But eventually your wife or your gal says, I'm going to throw it away. And then she buys you a new one.
The GM of the house.
Yeah. And she buys you a new one. And you're like, you know what?
Time to DFA those boxer briefs that have four holes in them.
Yeah. Dalvin Cook plays a position at which the under the arm stains grow very quickly.
Well, honey, can I keep it? Okay. It can be a post June 1st cut, but. Yep.
Yeah. Sleep shirt.
Well, and then she's smart because she'll sneak in and throw it away. And then we're so oblivious as men, we forget all about it.
You know what I would say? What I would say to John here is, if you feel that good about Dalvin Cook, why don't you go on Underdog Fantasy and put up or shut up?
That's right, because fantasy football and fantasy sports, for that matter, never end at Underdog Fantasy. My guy Josh Judd sent this one in, a little parlay from yesterday's Wild and Flyers game.
Oh, nice.
Rode some highers, rode some lowers. Little 5-item pick 'em here for my guy Josh. Little $500 payout. for him at Underdog Fantasy. The best and easiest way to play fantasy sports. Got the Masters here coming up in a couple weeks. Excited to get some golf action in. Anthony Edwards and Cat are potentially on their way back. Well, Cat for sure is. So you got Timberwolves props you can make. Plenty of pick-ems options at Underdog Fantasy and some great daily drafts you can still get into. If you're missing that fantasy football itch, there's still daily fantasy leagues for basketball and hockey, of course. Go download the Underdog Fantasy app. First-time users, $100 bonus. Go download the Underdog Fantasy app, promo code SCORE.
Yeah, and if you're a dog listening right now to Mackie and Judd, why don't you go to NutriSourcePetFoods.com, show your owner where you can get a big smile on your face like Maya Mackie has multiple times per day. She was very excited this morning, as she is every morning, to eat the same meal, which keeps her digestive system on track. She loves the chicken and rice NutriSource foods and the treats, Judd.
So if Dawn is the GM of the Zolgad household, Stella is the executive vice president in charge of Pop Pop. And I'm going to tell you right now, look at that look. That's Stella and her friend Ryder. Now, Ryder, he's a fun guy, right? But look at that look. Stella on the left, she's all business. And you know why? Because she wants her training rewards treats, and she wants them now. And she loves.
She doesn't have time for this ish.
No, none of this BS. Your sports talk. I don't want to hear your hot takes. I just want you to give me my NutriSource. And as executive vice president of Zolgad operations, she gets what she wants.
Yeah. Vinny's moving around the Goff household there. NutriSourcePetFoods.com. They support the independent and local pet shops too. So all kinds of good reasons to check them out. Okay. Mitch says, I am a born and raised Minnesotan and a fan of all the sports in the great state. I only have 26 years of disappointment. So I mostly just remember back to the end of the Randy Moss, KG and Marian Gaborik era from the early 2000s.
Sure.
And then the other day I realized how Minnesota sports is almost the exact same now than it was then. Justin Jefferson, Ant and Cat, Kirill Kaprizov. Not sure if anyone else noticed this, but I thought it might be an interesting topic for Feedback Friday. Big fan of all the Scornos shows. Thank you. I mean, kind of, yeah. You got the star wide receiver on a team that can't get over, that gets to the playoffs but can't get over the hump. You've got the couple of star NBA players. I don't know if either Ant or Cat are quite on the KG level, but you've got star players on teams that are scrapping to get to the first round and get beat in the NBA, and then you've got your superstar, goal scoring, young, strapping, wild player. Yeah,
and no playoff wins. He's exactly right. Very depressing. Thanks for bringing that up.
And if you want to include the Twins, yeah, they're in the same spot too. Can't win a damn playoff game 20 years later.
Shockingly, I'm fine. I mean, we're getting news from Fort Myers that guys aren't going to be able to start the season. I never saw it coming.
The Twins are great, man. Everything's great. It's fine. It's 75 degrees. Nothing to see here. We're just in Buxton, just back here. Buxton, just back on the side fields. You know, it's all just part of our process. Don't worry about it. But is Buxton going to be ready for the opener?
He's the DH.
As a DH, though, right?
Yeah, okay. Polanco out. Kirilov out.
Yeah. I love how Kirilov, he's like still dealing with discomfort when he swings, and he's just going to have to get used to it. That sounds like a long-term solution.
At some point in time, somebody's going to have to probably say, is Alex Kirilov's career just in jeopardy?
Gosh, what a freaking... It reminds me of Kubel, but at least Kubel... Because Kubel was like a fast, mobile outfielder, and then he tore his knees up. But he was a serviceable hitter for like 5 or 6 years, and then the body kind of gave out.
He did the same thing in the Arizona Fall League that Culpepper did against Carolina. He tore like everything. Like his knee blew up.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
He hit a walk-off grand slam for the cycle at the Metrodome against, I think it was 2009, against the Angels.
Yep.
I left that game early. Oh. I left the Kevin Love 30-30 game early, and I left the Jason Kubel walk-off cycle grand slam game early. Yeah. All-time Bramergasm. All-time Bramergasm.
A little warranted, but that one's good.
Oh, yes.
I watched that game at Cousins.
Oh, really?
I watched Cousins
with a buddy.
I'll even top you. That was my homecoming dance because I remember at one point leaving the dance to go check the score of that game, and I literally we all saw the Kubel, like few of us saw the.
Was
Kubel
that a September game then?
Yeah, it was like September or early. Yeah, it was like late September, early. I think it was. Am I thinking of the right game?
Let's
was
find that this. April.
Here. I don't think so.
I thought it was early in the season.
Early in the season.
Yeah, I think it was spring because what am if it I had been, of? I don't think I would have been at the bar that night.
All right, that's fine. All right, it was against the Angels, right?
Mine would have been.
Okay, game-winning granny completes the cycle here.
It wasn't that, but I now know what if it would have been 09.
Was it prom?
It
been,
April 18th. No. That's prom season.
A prom? Right. A little prom?
No, this wasn't prom. What I'm thinking of, though, was that season, because if it would have been a homecoming, it was towards the end getting to 162, and we were all, you know, glued to screens because they were down three games with three games to go. And I remember us breaking out to go see if the Twins had tied the game because they were trying to force, you know, a divisional tie. So that's probably what it was. But I do remember the all-time Bramer guy. Got my high school dance and twin seasons mixed up, for God's sakes. My bad.
No need to apologize.
I kind of want to find it now so I can play this. If I just Google, like, if I go to YouTube and go Jason Kubel Angels Cycle or something. Is it
I've heard it. Yep. He's probably there.
If you left this game, shame on you, I believe is what he said.
I forgot you had left that game. I knew you left.
Oh, there's the full game. Is that okay? Here it is. Here's the, I don't know if you can hear this. Yeah, I don't know. Can you hear this? Oh, that's later. Here's the granny right here.
Dick doesn't do that anymore.
Just loses his mind, man. That might have been peak Bramer right there.
I feel like
2009, game one. Well, he didn't do game 163. Yeah. Well, there was a period there, especially early on Twitter. He got some flack for getting too excited on medium depth fly balls, and I think he heard about it on Twitter. So now
he's blocked people
more.
Yeah, including
yes.
Am I still blocked?
I think all three of us have been blocked
the other day.
Going into the season, am I still blocked? As spring has sprung, as old grudges are buried, has Richards blocked me?
The only way I see his tweets is if I go on like Twins Reddit page and I see a Bramer tweet, and then I'll click it, and then I get that. Yeah, I get you are unable to see Dick Bramer.
Are you blocked too, Judd?
Yeah.
So all three of us have been blocked by the
Duke. I got blocked last year because I couldn't take it anymore, and I unleashed.
You've mentioned that.
That's right.
Parker Keenholes on Twitter says, okay, here it is. As a Brainerd native who grew up going to Husky games and then went to the U of M to cheer on the Gophers as an alum, we need some sort of gentleman's bet with Phil and Declan for Saturday's game. Up to you guys whether it involves horses or not. Listen, we do have a family hobby farm with two horses ready to ride.
God, that'd be great.
No.
Oh, you talk about a social 35
minutes
presence?
West of Minneapolis. Yeah.
We'd have
get
to
AJ. Let's go.
No, that'd be significant bigger stakes for me to get on a damn horse. Not my, I'm a proud St. Cloud State graduate.
How about
love
petting
my Huskies?
It?
But just
stroking it.
No.
Stroking its mane.
Stop saying stroking.
Yeah.
Is
do you like the sword mane?
Do you have like a, here's what we could do. We could, this is really low stakes, but it might be kind of wacky and fun. So you know how we'll just like stop the show every once in a while and we'll hit this and Judd has to wave a flag. Or in today's case, we'll hit this, right? Does St. Cloud State have a rouser?
We don't have a rouser.
It's
no.
called Last Call, Phil.
Yeah, it's called Last Call. It's like a clinking sound with a bunch of glasses. We play... We play Civ You Suck when they score, but I'm trying to think of what the actual...
You don't have like a fight song?
No, we don't have a fight song.
St. Cloud State doesn't have a fight song.
No, that got budget cut too. That's been cut long time ago, just like the football
team. How do you have a fight song? Every school has a fight
serious?
Song. Buffalo High School had a fight
song. Was the band cut?
H-U-S-K-I-E-S. Okay, I remember a little bit now, but like it's not a thing that people like, we don't have a rouser, is what I'm
Do you have
saying.
A band still?
Yes, you do. You do have a rouser.
Yeah,
St. Cloud, there's literally St. Cloud State University rouser.
Sing it for us.
I genuinely. First time I'm ever hearing this. I've never heard this before.
It's all over YouTube.
And on the St. Cloud State plan, I was there for 5 years. I did not hear this song once.
You know, the red carpet's not very far. We're going to get hammered all night long.
So what I was going to say is whoever loses, like whoever, if the Gophers win, then I, at any time during the next show on Monday, multiple times, will just interrupt the show and fire the rouser, and Declan has to wave a Gophers flag every single time.
I was going to say that.
Or vice versa if St. Cloud State wins. I have to begrudgingly wave a St. Cloud State
flag. I don't know if I have any Gopher gear. My loving fiance might have Gopher gear. I was going to say, could one of us wear the other thing? I got a hat you could wear, but
I could get you. I got a hood. I got a couple little hooded sweatshirts, Gopher hooded sweatshirts. I got some stuff you could wear for sure. There's also a Gopher apparel shop just down the street from the studio on campus. We could go get you some nice swag.
That, or I don't know. Is there a gentleman's six pack that we could also have to buy one another or something? Or yes. I know you're a wine guy. I'm not.
That's
a much
not very
wine
fun
guy.
Though.
It's not fun for the audience.
The listeners can see. The audience can see.
Right.
And here's what I'll say.
Here, I like the gear idea.
What I kind of want, some gear, and then if the Gophers win this game, then multiple times throughout Monday's statement show, I will just interrupt it and make Declan have to cheer on the best team in the country.
Actually, you know what? If the Gophers win, Declan has to make a $1,000 donation to the Dinky Town Collective so that we can fund some athletes.
Get better players, yeah.
Let's fund some athletes. Let's do it. Let's do it, Sport North. You know what we should do? A Dinky Town Collective drive. That should be our cause.
I think you're right about this. And if people have ideas, hit us up in the Score North YouTube comments if you have ideas for what the stake should be here. Get your ideas in by like Saturday afternoon. Or whatever. Who cares? If you want to send them in after the game's over, we'll just take any good ideas.
The Dinky Town Collective Telethon. 24 hours of Dinky Town.
I'm thinking maybe what we could do, actually, is we could put Declan on a Gopher-themed bike of some kind, and he just rides around like
with
Gopher chest paint. Well, I wasn't referring to a bicycle. I was talking about maybe like a Harley, Indian, or a Metro Cruiser.
Yeah, I like that.
Get Declan out and about with like Gopher paint on his back or something. You'll find what you need for riding season at DennisKirk.com, where you can ride more and weight less. Over 180,000 parts and accessories in stock, clothing and helmets as well. Shipping is free for orders over $89. If you order by 8 p.m., they ship the same day. Everything you need for your ride at DennisKirk.com.
What about a little like motorcycle sidecar just decked out in Skyu Ma and go?
No, that's too much fun for you. No. And
rowing the boat in the air.
Hold on a second here. Did you just say you hate bicycles?
I am not a bicyclist. I loathe them. I think they're uncomfortable.
They're too dangerous. Too dangerous.
I agree completely.
Stationary bikes, Pelotons, I'm in.
That's fine. Yeah, I don't care about that.
Riding around in traffic.
Bicycle guy. Like, I thought every skinny guy, metrosexual type, was a bicycle guy.
I can legit tell you, since I got a driver's license, and I got it at 17, I have been on a bicycle less than 5 times in my entire life since then.
Okay. I'm shocked.
I have never really enjoyed it.
For a guy that once got mad that, was it Anthony Rizzo, caught a fly ball with like a foot on the tarp, that it was too dangerous?
Oh,
You're not a bicycle guy?
No, I'm not at all. I'm saying I thought Declan, because of how he looks, would be a bicycle guy.
I'm a walker. Thin, I'm a speed. If Olympics,
craft beer.
No, I can like speed walk too, pretty well, but I'm not getting on a bicycle.
I agree with you guys. They are unnecessarily dangerous.
Man, I had an all-time foot and mouth embarrassing moment with a good friend of mine about 5 or 6 years ago. We were just drinking some beers, catching up at Stray Dog in Northeast, just, you know, talking about life and whatever, and someone came in the bar. They like put their bicycle out, and then they came in with the full Lance Armstrong gear and the helmet and took it off and stuff and like smell and kind of walked by. And I went on this little rant about how, like, I mean, do you really need the full Lance Armstrong gear? Can you just go for a bike ride? You know, do you really need to be? And then you walk in, you're all sweaty and stuff, and you're just going to sit down and you smell. And then I don't know. Are you going to bike to work like that? Plus, it's dangerous. I must have been ranting for like 5 minutes. And after I got done, he goes, you know that I'm part of like a cycling club on the weekends. Like, we just literally went on a 50-mile bike ride yesterday, and I have that exact same outfit. And I was like, oh, check, please.
So you went full Seinfeld.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah. What's the deal with these Lance Armstrong outfits?
Is there anything... Where does this one rank as far as bicycles and rules of the road? Dude who blows through stop signs. Like, you'll be at
I have a question about that. Are you, like, you approach a four-way stop sign on a bike?
You
are you supposed to stop?
you are yes. supposed to stop. You're
because they never. I feel like they never stop.
They never stop.
No, I know. And I got a big car.
Yeah, I
could
win.
Accidentally kill you, and I'm going to feel bad. And it's not my fault.
Are you threatening bicycle riders right now?
I'm saying if you blow through a stop sign and I kill you, I've always said, you know, but I mean, think about how awful you would feel. And it wouldn't be your fault if they blow through the stop sign. But yes, you are supposed to adhere to the rules of the road. You do not have any rights downtown now at the stoplights. They've got stoplights for bicycles.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny is I just went on that whole rant about bicycle. Like, I don't feel comfortable on bicycles, but I love scooters. So I'm
not sure what the difference. That's different. It's powering it for you, and it's 15 to 20 minutes. It's better. It's just makes sense.
But if you fly off it, you could still do some major brain damage.
I've had.
You got to watch out for branches for sure.
I'm not going anywhere near a scooter either, guys.
We know. We weren't shocked.
The only scooter. The only scooters I use are my feet.
Okay, Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
All right, Charles Raymond here says, "Hey Phil, would love to see a few twins pillows on the couch." So we got the narrow view here, but
they got to earn it.
I agree.
Got a Vikings one, yeah. Also, I saw on when I popped up Stella and Ryder, a little Zolgad pillow I see there. You guys see this little Zolgad pillow above Stella?
Oh yeah, Don bought that.
I just noticed that.
Yep.
Let me ask you this, Judd. Did you guys get those custom made or did you go to like Home Goods and they randomly had a Zolgad pillow?
Yeah. That's
this is funny. Crazy.
Yeah.
It's Anderson Smith.
Zolgad. The only question, and this now leads me to think of it. I wonder what she paid for that. Like there's so much crap that shows up at my house now. I don't even ask anymore.
Yeah, it's all custom embroidered with Zolgad on it. And Judd, I got us some new coasters here. They're all custom Zolgad embroidered.
That's actually a really good point, Dex. I've never thought about the price tag on that. I'll confront her tonight. We'll see how that goes. I'm sure that's going to go well for me.
How long have you had those pillows?
A long time. I've never thought before. I wonder what the price was.
And then Jacob on Twitter says, hypothetical fun question for you guys. In any sport, any time in history, if you could be one player for one season with that player's skill set, who would you want to be and what year? And side note, you could change history as well. For instance, you could be Gary Anderson in 1998, but make the field goal.
Oh, wow. Just one sport. I can't pick more sports. I would want to be... I'll take Wayne Gretzky... Oilers first Stanley Cup season circa 83 or 80. No,
so you wouldn't be looking to change history. You would be Wayne Gretzky at his peak. Yeah,
I would just want to see what that was like, you know, like Mays making the catch in the 54 series, something like that. But I'll go Gretzky in his prime first Stanley Cup. No, I'm not.
You know, as a guy who selfishly just longs to be a better golfer, I've been golfing since I was 16 years old and I've just, yeah, I'm a bogey golfer. Yeah, I've never broken 80 in my life. Just it would be really fun to just spend like one season, like 2002 as Tiger Woods, you know, just beating everyone at Pebble Tiger Beach. I would probably go without the Perkins and Denny's waitresses on the side.
Would you?
Well, I mean, we're going to reconsider
that. If you're going to replicate the experience.
Yeah, you got it. And got to lean all in.
That's true. Technically, he was probably single in the early 2000s, right? And then I think he married, after he kind of exploded. Yeah. But I think I would want to be a top golfer and just see what that's like to go shoot 63 in a major and kick everyone's ass.
I have this is probably a hot take, but I would love to be like Barry Bonds in 2002. I would love to be the most feared and hated hitter in all of
just
baseball.
Cheating up a storm,
hitting jacks with needles
and
in your ass,
just having needles up my ass. My head ballooned like five times size.
On. Wait, can we make something clear? The needles weren't up his ass; he was just putting them in his butt cheeks.
I don't know what kind of weird poor stuff you're into.
Dex, you're redoing history in a way we don't need to redo.
No, I would love to be Bonds. I would love to be Bonds. I think it'd be awesome to like just step up to the plate knowing I'm either hit a bomb or you're going to walk me. Those are the two outcomes. You're either going to hit one into the cove or you are just going to walk me. And I have an on-base percentage of like 700 and a slugging over 1,000. I would love that.
That's pretty good. That would be pretty fun. Just knowing how you dominate the best pitchers in baseball before you even step in the batter's box. Yeah. They're urinating down their leg. Be a lot of fun. So, all right. Yeah, we'll take your St. Cloud State Gophers ideas in the comments on YouTube here. We'll see you on Purple Daily throughout the weekend, and we'll see you back on Mackie and Judd on Monday.
Go Goldie.
Let's go. Roll the
go
boat.
Go Goldie. Go Machos. Fighting Machos. Greatest first line in Minnesota hockey right now.